You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported,
community radio for South Central Indiana.
Good evening, I'm Abe Shapiro.
And I'm Cade Young. You're listening to the WFHB local news for Thursday, March 14th, 2024.
Later in the program, the Monroe County Commissioners approved a contract for an environmental site assessment on a property being considered as a site for the new jail. More in the top half of tonight's newscast.
Also coming up in the next half hour, we hear from Dr. Gabriel Boslett, a pulmonary and critical care physician in Indianapolis and the president of the Good Trouble Coalition, on the latest edition of Prescription for Healthcare. But first, your local headlines.
During the March 13th meeting of the Monroe County Board of Commissioners, Jail Commander Kyle Gibbons provided an update on the conditions of the current jail.
Just want to give you a quick update as to the jail, the facility itself. We've got 214 total jail population, 164 felony, 35 misdemeanor, and we have 15 other holds. Our secure bed count's 183, so well below our standard that we're looking at there for the case there. In the last 48 hours, 21 bookings. There are 15 releases in the last 48 hours. So the numbers themselves, the felony, 164 inmates, that's 77% of our facility. So you can kind of see that pre-child release program being at 35, which is 16% of our facility, is getting people in and out that are safe to come back out, and it's working correctly. So kudos to the judges on that especially, and all the work that the public defender's office and everybody else does with probation and everything. One issue that I wanted to call to your attention, and we don't talk about this very often because it's just part of the job. When we have people that have to go to the hospital and they have to be admitted to the hospital, our staff has to go to the hospital as well. And that's 24-hour coverage. So I wanted to give a kudos to the facility itself and the people that work there. It's something through the council and giving us that pay raise and giving people incentive to work here, and then providing that work throughout our tenure so far, that everybody's stepping up, the commissioners, the council, the office itself.
Gibbons touched on mental health initiatives for inmates inside the jail. He also said that the jail is fully staffed at the moment.
Looking at our mental health division, are those people providing those medical services through our contract? We have two people right now. We always talk about how we're reactive in what we have to do because we're so busy with evaluations, intake, making sure people have proper care. What they've begun to do and what little time they have is they began dialectical behavior therapy, DBT. Essentially, it's a group therapy session that they've worked with 8 to 12 residents, depending on who wants to partake in that. It's not forced. It's something that we're working these people back into a position so they can go into general population, so they can have a normal stay at the facility, so they can have a normal release into the public. They're doing a good job in that. There's incentive-based stuff. We work with them. We just had a cleanest cell competition. These are people that are wanting to get back. They're on their medication. They're working towards that end goal. So when we look into getting more people to help with that process, it only benefits the entire population itself. Staffing report, we're fully staffed. We've had one resignation in the last 90 days, and that person just moved back to Northern Indiana, moved back with family. So we're doing a pretty good job in that, in keeping people at the job, and which speaks to the work that all of us have done as a county.
Then the commissioners heard a contract with Vet Engineering for an environmental site assessment at a property on Hunter Valley Road and West State Road 46. The commissioners are considering the property as a potential site for a new jail. Administrator Angie Purdy presented the agreement.
As you and the council have all agreed that there are issues presented on the Thompson site, you have tasked staff with looking at additional sites and obtaining an environmental site assessment and a site recognizance of the property. And this this agreement will provide for that for two parcels of land totaling approximately 56.12 acres. And those are located along West Hunter Valley Road and Bloomington in Monroe County, Indiana. And it is, we are not looking to purchase the totality of those two parcels. Actually, we're only looking at approximately 43 acres.
Commissioner Lee Jones expressed relief that the board is moving forward with its efforts to build a new jail after the city council voted down a rezone request by the commissioners for a jail site north of Fullerton Pike back in late 2022.
Just that it's exciting to be moving ahead with this. All of this seems to have been taking a lot longer than we had initially anticipated.
Commissioner Penny Githens says that she supports the measure. She said the timeline is critical because, in her view, the current jail conditions are not adequate.
I'm anxious to move forward with this and to, I think, get building started. One of the things I heard last night at the council meeting from the sheriff was that if they have to replace the elevator in the current building, it will take eight weeks. Mm-hmm. That's 8 weeks without an elevator for moving food, for moving folks that are there, even today when we heard about clothing, all of that. And so we're spending a lot to keep the current facility limping along. Mm-hmm. And so I'm anxious to get something new started.
The county commissioners unanimously approved the contract with Vet Environmental Engineering in the amount of $4,750. The Monroe County Board of Commissioners have been scheduled to meet again on March 27th.
In today's feature report, we have Prescription for Healthcare, a podcast collaboration between the WFHB Local News and Medicare for All Indiana, broadcasting the second Thursday of every month. This month, hosts Dr. Rob Stone and Karen Greenstone speak with Dr. Gabriel Boslett, a pulmonary and critical care physician in Indianapolis, and the president of the Good Trouble Coalition. We turn now to Prescription for Healthcare on the WFHB Local News.
Bloomington, Indiana, welcome to Prescription for Healthcare on WFHB Community Radio, sponsored by Medicare for All Indiana. I'm Karen Greenstone, along with Dr. Rob Stone.
Hello.
Today on Prescription for Healthcare, our guest is Dr. Gabriel Boslett. Dr. Boslett is a pulmonary and critical care physician in Indianapolis. Dr. Boslett is the current president of the Good Trouble Coalition, a coalition of Hoosier healthcare and public health professionals who collaborate to educate, empower, and facilitate political advocacy in the areas of patient-centered care, public health, and health equality. Dr. Boslett, welcome to Prescription for Healthcare, and thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Karen and Rob. I'm really excited to be here.
Dr. Boslett, the Indiana legislature continues to drag its feet on improving the delivery of healthcare to Hoosiers and advancing legislation that helps all of us. Will you please explain to our listeners the origins of the Good Trouble Coalition in Indiana and why it is important for all of us to know about it?
Yeah, I think I'll change your question a little in saying that I don't think they're dragging their feet. I don't think that they value public health in a way that aligns at all with the way that I do. And then I think those are two very different things. Because dragging their feet, I think it implies that we're moving in the same direction. And I don't know that's the case. But yeah, that's why I created the Good Trouble Coalition. The Good Trouble Coalition started in early 2022. Actually, it goes back to really, it goes back to the pandemic. If you told me 5 years ago that I would be the president of a nonprofit that spends a lot of time at the state house, I would have said you were crazy. But then the pandemic happened and we started to see elected leaders downplay the importance of something that killed a lot of people, talk about just plain nutty potential treatments, and downplay the importance of what's gotten us out of the pandemic, which were vaccines. And so I got very frustrated, and I realized pretty quickly that the source of my frustration was elected leaders at the level of the state. It was a lot of elected leaders, but especially those at the level of the state, at the state house. And so it culminated in House Bill 1001 in the 2022 legislative session. And House Bill 1001 was debated in November of 2021 at a time when our hospitals were bursting. We were opening new ICUs. And that bill was one that said that you cannot require vaccination as a term of employment, including hospitals, basically saying that hospitals could not force their employees to be vaccinated, which to me was insane because I was taking care of patients in ICUs, chock full of COVID in unvaccinated patients. There were no vaccinated patients that were getting COVID at that time. Anyone who had immunity at all was generally fine. So I testified in front of the House, in front of the House Public Health Committee, and to a room of anti-vaccine zealots. And it was formative. They passed that bill in a very watered down version. They basically passed something to pass something, but it did nothing. It didn't require, it didn't do what they wanted it to do. And that sort of turned, that sort of opened my eyes to how much stuff that I deal with as a physician is starting, especially starting to be manipulated and micromanaged at the level of the state house. In the 2022 legislative session, they passed permitless open carry law in Indiana. There was a bill that would have allowed pharmacists to prescribe, to give out ivermectin with a standing prescription for COVID-19, which luckily didn't get a hearing. And so I started to get mad and I started to watch all this stuff happen. And so I have a social media account. I like Twitter, although I'm much less on it anymore. But I sent a tweet saying, look, if you're a physician in Indiana and you're frustrated with the way things have been going, give me a message because I'm looking to cause some good trouble. And I did it on a whim. I think I probably had a second or third cup of coffee that morning, but I got a boatload of respondents, like a whole lot, to the point where I was like, whoa, that maybe there's something here. And I realized that I started to want to do a bit more advocacy, and I started looking around for places that were organized to do this. And really, there were none doing the work that I wanted to do, focused on public health, patient-centered care, and health equity. And I got a critical mass of people together, including a professor in the School of Public Health who studies nonprofit organization, which was, I'll be honest, was absolutely imperative because she knew the nuts and bolts of how to do this and wanted to be involved. Luckily, Jamie Levine Daniel, who no longer lives in Indiana, although she's still the vice president of the Good Trouble Coalition. And we decided to organize. And that's how it started.
Thank you. Speaking of the Indiana State Legislature, they've been very enthusiastic about keeping the government out of business regulation, while being very comfortable interfering with regulating healthcare options for women. And we know that the Good Trouble Coalition is very involved with women's reproductive freedom. Will you please talk about how the Good Trouble Coalition is supporting reproductive rights and specifically Dr. Caitlin Bernard?
Yeah. Caitlin doesn't need us to defend her. Caitlin is a force unto herself. And we're frankly blessed to have her here in the state of Indiana and in the United States writ large, to be honest. And a lot of what we do at Good Trouble is trying to keep, I think if I had to sum it up, what we do at the State House with Good Trouble is we do two things. We try to inform the legislature on science-minded ways to craft policy. And we try to keep the legislature out of the exam room as much as humanly possible. And I think the thing that we've seen since 2020, since the pandemic, is that, you know, the analogy that I talk about people, that I talk about with people, is the analogy of education. We have a legislature that's very comfortable micromanaging teachers in very ideological ways. Even if you just look at this legislative session now, that we have to hold back third graders who don't pass iRead, which, you know, physicians and pediatricians think is probably going to be very bad for a whole generation of kids. They are trying to legislate sex education, taking it out of the hands of teachers and trying to really mandate what can and can't be taught. And so they've done this for a long time, decades, is really micromanage the classroom from the State House. And since 2021, we are now the teachers, right? Physicians are now the teachers. And they are coming after the House of Medicine and the practice of medicine in ways that they never had before. And yeah, it's absolutely true that Good Trouble has focused a lot on women's rights because that's the spear's tip, right? It always has been the spear's tip. Abortion and anything that has to do with procreation and sex, legislators love to micromanage. And we fight back a lot against that. But, and I have conversations with my colleagues all the time, if you think that this is just about reproductive health, you are sorely mistaken, because they are definitively going to start coming for other aspects of healthcare very quickly. In fact, they already have. Look at gender-affirming care, right? That also has to do with genitals, right? So they're starting with the genitals, but there's a lot of other things that I worry about that we don't need them involved in. Things like end-of-life care, right? So they're big on beginning of life care. I worry about end of life care. I worry about micromanaging sort of things like transplants. And I think we're at the beginning of pushing back against governmental interference in the exam room. And the beginning of stages of that have been reproductive health for the most part. But one of the reasons why I think it's important that all physicians get involved is because I see that as only the beginning and not the end of where this goes.
Could you also briefly explain the origin of your name and the quote that it comes
from? Yeah, from this quote from John Lewis. "Do not get lost in a sea of despair. Be hopeful, be optimistic. Our struggle is not the struggle of a day, a week, a month, or a year. It is the struggle of a lifetime. Never, ever be afraid to make some noise and get in good trouble, necessary trouble." And to me, that living in a state that has had elected officials that have favored austerity over public health for quite a while, this is not the struggle of a day, a week, a month, or a year. This is a long game struggle. And so that really spoke to me.
That's great. I love that. I love that quote. I think a lot of our listeners will immediately recognize it, but that was good to clarify that.
Yes.
Because not everyone will, but now they will.
Yes. Perfect.
Dr. Gabe Buslett, what is your prescription for healthcare?
My prescription for healthcare is physician activity in the civic space. But let me rephrase that. My prescription for healthcare is healthcare worker activity in the civic space. And let me be very specific about what I mean by that. The work that the Good Trouble Coalition does is nonpartisan work at the level of the State House, looking at policy and using our voices to inform policy in ways that we see that aligns with good science, I think is important. So that's one part of what I mean. The other part of what I mean that healthcare workers, that tends to make healthcare workers squirm a little bit more, is healthcare workers need to be involved in the electoral aspect of civic life, meaning they need to vote, obviously, at the bare minimum. That is the bare minimum. They need to support candidates. They need to support candidates with money, if they can afford it, time, if they can afford it, and their knowledge. And they need to be involved in getting science-minded people elected to the Indiana State House, right? And note that I didn't say a party there. I think that's important. Science-minded is not owned by one party or another. Although, as of late, one party has tended to be more science-minded than another. But this, to me, is very important. I think physicians are and nurses are relatively comfortable advocating for policy. But then when you talk about things like giving money to candidates or going to candidate events and shaking hands with candidates and talking to them about the issues that they care about, I think that makes people uncomfortable. And the response I have to that is good. You grow when you're uncomfortable. And if the state of Indiana is going to get better, we need a lot of growth amongst people who work in healthcare in branching out into the civic space. So that's my prescription for healthcare.
So Dr. Gabe Bosslet, thank you for taking time to join us today. We welcome and appreciate hearing about your important work in the Good Trouble Coalition.
And we want the listeners to also know that we're looking at doing some kind of Bloomington, Monroe County, Good Trouble regional event this spring coming up, and we'll keep our listeners posted on that.
Yes, we look forward to that. It's going to be awesome.
For listeners who are interested in reading more about Dr. Caitlin Bernard, check out the recent New Yorker article, February 25th piece, titled "The Last Abortion Doctor in Indiana. Caitlin Bernard is risking her career and her safety to care for pregnant patients." The author calls her the most famous obstetrician gynecologist in the country, equal parts hero, and warning to abortion providers in conservative states. We'll link to the New Yorker article on the Prescription for Healthcare page on the WFHB website, and a link to the Good Trouble Coalition's website. If listeners would like more information about Medicare for All Indiana Bloomington, you can sign up on our Facebook page on our WFHB webpage for meeting announcements, current actions, and recent articles on healthcare reform. As many listeners already know, we are especially focused on the problems associated with Medicare Advantage programs and about how hospitals are dropping the Medicare Advantage program due to excessive claim denials and delayed pre-authorization requests. This is Karen Greenstone along with Dr. Rob Stone for Prescription for Healthcare on WFHB Community Radio in Bloomington, Indiana. To your good health, everyone, stay safe, and thank you for listening.
We may never see this moment, a place and time again. If not now, tell me when.
This is In Nature.
This is Juliana Daly with In Nature. Today, I am talking to you about mussels. Mussels are members of the bivalve mollusks family. Freshwater mussels inhabit permanent lakes, rivers, canals, and streams throughout the world except in the polar regions. Here in the Midwest, we have the sheepnose mussel, the snuffbock mussel, and the white cat's paw mussel. All of these mussels are endangered. The sheepnose mussel is yellowish-brown in color and has a single row of wide bumps that run the length of the shell. They are very large, around 5 inches. The snuffbox mussel is small to medium-sized, a little over 2 inches. It is triangular-shaped and has a thick, yellowish shell. It kind of looks like a snuffbox. The white's cat's paw mussel is greenish-yellowish to greenish-brown with regular fine green rays, and the inside is pearly white. It is small to medium size, and that is squarish with rounded edges. Destruction of habitat and runoff from farming techniques have the largest impact on the survival of mussels, and that is why they are endangered.
You've been listening to In Nature, a production of WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana.
Support for the WFHB local news is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems, encouraging independence and individual responsibility. More information online at mpisolarenergy.com.
You've been listening to the WFHB local news. Today's headlines were written by Noel Herhusky-Schneider and myself in partnership with CATS, Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Dr. Rob Stone and Karen Greenstone.
Our theme music is provided by Mark Bingham and the Social Climbers. Engineer and executive producer is Cade Young. Abe Shapiro, WFHB News, live and learn.
And I'm Cade Young. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast online at wfhb.org.
The WFHB local news is also available as a podcast. Just search our call letters, WFHB, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Subscribe now to never miss another local news program.
Stay tuned for Big Talk, a one-on-one conversation with some of Bloomington's most fascinating people. Coming up next on WFHB. You've been listening to the WFHB local news on WFHB Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news at WFHB.org. You can become a WFHB local news volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. Feel free to check out the WFHB local news archive at WFHB.org to find newscasts, individual stories, and catch a live feed of the WFHB local news. We are local, longer,